"You're certain he's dead?" someone asked. My eyes flew open and I straightened up. A stranger stood before me, taller than the Aetolian and slim, very elegant. He had a long, narrow face darker than my own and a heavier beard than I will ever grow. The patterns at the edge of his soft skull cap and the ones around the collar and hem of his belted shift marked him as a traveler from beyond the isthmus. Travelers from beyond the isthmus. I'm Noelle.
And I'm Caitlin.
And this is the Aetolian Archives, your Queen's Thief reread podcast to help you recover from Return of the Thief. It's July 11th, 2021, and today we're discussing Chapter 9 of Thick as Thieves.
This opening introduction with Enikar, Kamet narrates after the stranger had an immense dignity about him, and I wanted to point out it says the stranger was taller than the Aetolian, and all the gods are very tall. Interesting. As a 5'0" person, I take a little bit of offense, but that's okay. We'll move on.
Also, like, he's got Costas so on the brain. The first thing he thinks when he looks at this guy is, oh, he's taller than Costas.
Yeah.
Everyone is, people are Costas or not Costas.
Yeah.
But Kamet is still trying to say, this dude was not my buddy.
Yeah.
We were not friends. I didn't care about him.
He was not my friend, I said automatically, then wondered why I'd said anything at all. You know, I think you are mistaken about that. And he smiled very kindly. Be certain before you let go of him. I once was lost, and my friend came for me. Our hands are on our hearts. So, we have that, but we also have that juxtaposed with his narration. This feeling was new, this particular loss, leaving me at a standstill and directionless. And from the last chapter, he was waiting as if Costas would appear, as if the world would settle back into its proper course. The world is not in its proper course without Costas.
And he's talking about how he's seen a lot of death in his life. He's lost people, he's lost friends, but this is this new type of grief.
Yeah. So what is the denial? The Aetolian had been no more than a convenience. I would have ended up in the well myself if I had stayed. What do you think this is? Is it just a defense mechanism?
Yeah, I think Kamet is still clinging to his, you don't do favors for people.
Yeah.
And you don't do favors for people because they wouldn't do a favor for you, you know?
Yeah. And when he decides to go back to Costas, he's saying, like, no, he's dead. He can't be alive. There was silence echoing up from the well. And then he narrates, I looked up at the impersonal blue sky over my head, thought of flying up and away in Annette's chariot, and then I began to retrace my steps to the mill. Which is like, oh, he's thinking about, I mean, that's from the play in the beginning with Imacuk and Enikar, but, you know, he's thinking about the two of them.
Yeah.
Flying
that's
up
another
and away.
Indirect expression of this attachment.
Yeah. So the other times I read this book, like, I understood it was a love story, but I wished it could have been clearer, like, spelled out a little bit more, just because, I don't know, I think this is just a me issue rather than, like, is this an actual issue that really exists in the world? But, you know, just confronted with a bunch of straight relationships that are confirmed in other pieces of literature, whatever. I just don't personally like ambiguity very much with gay stuff, but that's just a me thing. But
no, yeah, you're right, you're right.
Do you remember a while ago, a long time ago, we were talking about this, and I think you said it feels like their friendship in this book is like, undeveloped, kind of.
Yeah, less that it's underdeveloped and more that it's missing pieces. I mean,
yeah.
We don't see those 11 days in the Taimut Mountains, and Kamet really only looks sidelong at his feelings, and so whatever kind of relationship that they have, the real specificity of it is kind of out of our reach. It's out of our field of vision.
Like, I was gonna say, it feels to me like these and I guess the next one and maybe like the ones further are like the only chapters I feel we really get.
I think it's,
I don't know,
it's developing in this organic way,
interior way,
like so, like, so organically that Kamek sort of doesn't realize that it's happening. You know, I was in the middle before I even knew I had begun.
Yeah.
And like,
which we see because like he's still saying right here, he's not my friend. You know, that's just a whole another aspect. He's just in denial. He has this whole thing, which is,
yeah. And like, I have that instinct to be cranky about like, why can't we have this same-sex relationship be more clear when we have we've got these Helen and Sophos and Jen and Irene, and I especially felt that way before Return of the Thief came out. But also, like, that's so consistent with the style of the rest of the books that the narrator would leave some of that intimacy out.
Yeah, like, I mean, we did not know that Jen was in love with Atolia before the end of The Queen of Atolia.
Yeah.
We did not know. And it was all through the book. And there were, like, hints, just like, this is full of hints, but... So it is very fitting. It's not like this ambiguity is new to the series.
Yeah.
At all. It's just a little pet peeve of mine. I need to get over.
Well, no, and it's like, completely legitimate as a frustrating pattern.
Yeah. And I just, like, you know, I think we both felt this before Return of the Thief, but I also felt it after Return of the Thief. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, spoilers. Sorry for that one person we talked to who hasn't read it.
Also, Chip. Chip hasn't read it yet.
No way.
Seriously? Yeah.
Oh, get out. Chip, what are you doing?
We went out for direct ice cream. Appeal. I was like, can I go out for ice cream with someone who hasn't read Return of the Thief yet?
I gotta lend it to him. But before Return of the Thief, okay... No confirmation, whatever. After Return of the Thief, we get confirmation canonically for other gay characters, but not these two? Like, I mean, I know, you know, we get more things that I would consider hints and that I know other people do consider confirmation, which I, you know, I can, sure, it's confirmation. I get it with everything else in this book. Like, I already knew this was a love story, but I still wished it could have been more explicit, you know?
Yeah, I think it was an interesting decision to kind of keep us at arm's length from Kemet and Costas. And I was pretty satisfied with where it went in Return of the Thief because I felt like with Relius and Talaeus and those other characters, the existence of same-sex relationships in the world of these stories was no longer hinging on Kamet and Costas.
Right.
So I felt like I was able to think more about what the potential significance is that we don't see all of that intimacy.
Yeah, because here, you know, we're kind of saying here in Thick as Thieves, it's a narration choice of Kamet, but with Ferris, we don't have that.
Yeah, I saw a Tumblr post that was like, we don't see that much stuff about Kamet and Costas in... Return of the Thief, because Kamet saw all the stuff that Ferris was writing about Relius and Talaeus' personal life and went through and manually removed all the stuff about him and Costas.
I feel like that is a valid explanation. I'll accept it. And it is littered with, like, every time the two of them are mentioned, it's like, oh, here's another comparison between these two and Relius and Talaeus. So, yeah. Like, it's fine. It is fine.
And, like, in an ideal world, we could have relationships that are ambiguous without thinking about this kind of political context of how often are same-sex relationships in popular books and when and what are the patterns about, you know?
Yep. It's coming, just not today.
Yeah. When Kamet goes to get Costas from the well... He gets a splinter dangerously close to his eye, and then he only finds the rope because of the moon.
Nemalia, the moon, is what lit Imakuk's path down into the well for him too.
Also, I don't know. I think it might be a stretch to say that there's an Unsasek parallel with Costas killing the dog, because he landed on the dog by accident. He didn't do it on purpose. But there was like the dog was like a wild beast, you know, it's like a monster in the previous chapter.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we saw Kamet attacking one of the guys in the mill with a bag of flour in, I think, the last chapter. But this chapter, he stabs the miller with his tiny penknife.
Yeah.
Just as he was thinking way back there with the Namreen, like, I'm never going to use this sword. I think I could do more damage with a penknife that I'm already comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
Bam! You did.
Yeah, he stabs him a bunch of times in the leg. Ugh.
Yeah. Oof. Another question. So he finds out Costas is alive. He says, like, oh, why didn't you say anything? And Costas said, well, I thought you were the miller. And Kamet says, oh, you were expecting him to sneak into his own mill yard in the middle of the night? And narrates, I didn't know why I was so angry. Why is he angry, Noelle?
I love that they're bickering immediately.
Yes. And this is the first, like, real argument. Yeah, it's not a real argument, but you know what I mean. It's the first.
Yeah.
It feels like a very equal exchange.
Yeah, I think it's a great sign. Like, yeah. Kamet is so comfortable.
He can express anger.
Yeah.
Which is not something he's ever done before with anyone, I think.
And he's had a hard day.
Yeah.
He's mad at himself.
Yep. Emotions are just weird. Emotions welled up in me until I was near drowning in them. I reached to touch his warm, living hand and swallowed a laugh and a sob. And later, something in my chest split like an overfull wineskin, and I laughed out loud.
And then they're laughing and laughing about the, ooh, yeah. Oh my gosh.
Oh, that like felt little so kids. Nice.
And let's not forget Costas looking like a ghost, of course, in our listing of the Imakuk and Anakar references.
Oh my god, I hadn't caught that.
Mm-hmm. It's coming up from the underworld. And I really like that, what's actually happening here is so not magical and not epic. I mean, he fell down a well and then Kamet puts down a rope. But because of what it means to them, their relationship, it becomes, it holds the significance of this great epic tale.
Yes. Also, speaking of the well, Costas seemed little injured by his fall. He had kept pace with me and appeared in every way whole because he's dedicated to Eugenides and just fell and was not killed or injured because Eugenides was taking care of him.
I can't believe I missed that. You will never die of a fall unless the god drops you. Ha!
But then he gets sick immediately, which is a little bit out of nowhere. Is it, I don't know, spending a night in a well with a dead dog?
Yeah, it's probably not good for you.
Probably not good for you.
I feel like this, I almost said this is the episode. This is the book that I get the most anxiety about people dying from infections.
Yeah.
There's a lot of wounds, a lot of unsanitary conditions.
There's actual plague.
Actual, literal plague.
It's stressful, man.
But that doesn't happen in this book, even though in the next book, there's like people dying from sepsis left and right. And they meet Anakar himself.
Yes, twice.
Who's just, hanging out on the street with his camel.
Just some guy.
Just some guy.
And Costas recognizes him as if greeting an old friend. The southerner looks startled. He did look like Imakuk's companion. And then it says he looked very much like the actor who had played him in the play at the beginning.
I like to think of that as Costas is in this sort of altered state.
Yeah.
Because he's sick. He might have a concussion. And so he's able to, like, perceive this.
Yeah, he doesn't have that veil of, like, awake, you're awake skepticism.
Yeah. Also, Costas has already experienced an encounter with the gods.
Yeah.
In King of Atolia.
And I feel like he's the type of person who would just be unfazed by it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's what it is, that's what it is. call a god a god. And he continued to be positively delighted by the stranger. And then Kamek gets him away because he was worried about the stranger realizing Costas is sick. Many felicities to you, he says. And many to you, Kamet. And then Kamet looks back and he can't even see the camel. They've just vanished.
His camel is also a magic immortal camel.
I love this.
I think it's interesting that they appear separately.
Yes.
Why do you think that is?
That's a good question. I would say because if they appeared together, the second time here would be much more suspicious, wouldn't you think? You know, they saw each of the immortals twice, but if you had seen a pair of immortals three times...
Yeah, it would have been too obvious to notice them. And they both appear to Kamet. I mean, Costas sees him and recognizes him, but he appears first to Kamet when Kamet's alone, and then directly addresses Kamet. And so they're both really Kamet's visions or encounters.
Yeah. And I'm also just kind of thinking back. I'm just comparing this to what we've seen of Moira and Eugenides and, like, the other gods. Sophos's questions to Edith at the end of Conspiracy, like, can you touch them? Do they have physical properties? Can they bring bolts of lightning? Enikar touches Kamet here. So that's one of those questions answered. It feels... It's interesting comparing these two sets of immortals. I know we've talked before about, like, you know, what are the logistics? Is there one rain god for each culture? Is it one rain god with different names in each place? Can Imakuk and Enikar be friends with Eugenides? But I don't know. It seems more... Imakuk and Enikar seem... I mean, obviously, okay, this isn't news. They seem more personally involved than Eugenides.
Yeah, and sort more of like benevolent, which is not to say that the other gods we see are malevolent. They're just more neutral, like they're out for their own agenda.
Yeah.
Whereas Imakuk and Enikar, it feels like they want to help.
They're just buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Eugenides, he's attached to his namesake, but like he let Jen get his hand cut off.
Yeah.
For goals.
For reasons.
Yeah. And I think we've asked before, like, are Imakuk and Enikar helping these two out of fellow feeling or out of the political goal of bring down the Mede Empire just like the other gods? Like, is that... Yeah. I mean, we don't have an answer still, but it's just interesting to still think about.
I do... Like, Imakuk and Enikar, they're not gods in the way that Eugenides is. Like, they're like legendary heroes.
They're mortal, I guess.
So they're like closer to humanity.
Yeah. Just like Eugenides, because he was half mortal, and Moira is closest to mortals.
I mean, like, I do feel a warmth in these encounters.
Yeah. Kamet describes Enikar as very kind, smiled very kindly. And Enikar, like, flung an arm around Costas' shoulder, so they went forward linked, so they got through with him and the camel. The last thing I wanted to bring up about those two is after they turned down another path and Enikar vanishes and they can't see him anymore, Costas said, "You saw him too?" As if, you know, he knows, like, is this a fever dream? Is this an apparition? Is this person not real?
I think it matters that they have this, like both Imakuk and Enikar, they appear to Kamet first, but then they do both see Enikar this time.
Yeah.
And it's like together they have this experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really important.
As opposed to, like, Jen is very alone in his experience of the gods.
Yeah, and even when he has, like, Costas and Ferris with him, like, they're not in it, they're just witnesses.
Yeah, and people are very like, oh, the veil is thin for him, like Eugenides, yeah, he's very set apart.
Yeah. I don't know, like, Edith and Atolia both have religious experiences, like, okay, the dreams, and then they both meet Moira. I mean, I think Edith... Does Edith meet... Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. In that short story, she meets gods.
Yeah.
But Atolia's experience at least feels more like a one-off type of thing. I mean, Atolia is pretty separate anyway because she doesn't like these people.
It's like not liking your in-laws.
Yeah. Chapter 9. Next time we meet Godecker.
Send us your comments, questions, and thoughts. Chime in at atolianarchives.tumblr.com.
Be blessed in your endeavors.
Thank you for listening. This has been an amateur embroidery production. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, anywhere podcasts are available.